CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's Witness Day. And as Ben told me before we came into the studio this morning, it's a week of celebrations.
Huge celebrations.
Of course, it's Ben's birthday on Sunday. That's primarily why he says that.
Happy! Yeah.
But of course, we've got a lot of happy occasions. World AIDS Day on the 1st.
Saturday. Oh, happy!
World AIDS Day,
It's very nice. Of course, that starts the celebrations for December. Actually, today is Dari's birthday. Nola's birthday is next week.
Happy! I'm going to get tired of all of these hippies.
I know. Sore hands.
Okay.
No, we moisturize. We're fine.
See, I'm moisturized. Yesterday, I walked into the studio and I said to him, sure, I'm feeling a bit ashy. And I had a tube of moisturizer on me. I was sorting out my ashy elbows.
Ashy elbows? Wow. Oh,
well, you know, that's what we say. Me and my people.
What, octogenarians?
No, me and my people. We talk about being ashy.
Yeah, we're down like that.
Yeah.
You have some Ash Wednesday on you sometimes.
That's right. Mm. There we go, Ash Wednesday. So don't do that. Moisturize, motherfuckers.
That's one way to start your morning.
I know. Isn't that great? Do you want to start with an email?
Yes.
Sure.
Best way to start.
From Elaine. I really hope Axel, that's Axel Rose, just has a tummy bug from dodgy water or food, because I live in Cape Town and I'm flying to Joburg to see him. Please hold thumbs, cross your toes too. He's a legend. Performing 20 songs while feeling like crap cannot be easy. Well, you see, that's that old school professionalism. Two sleeps, Joburg, here I come, says Elaine. Well, Elaine, we're excited for you, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't get too caught up in Axl Rose. He's 1,000 years old.
Mm. You know that movie Child's Play? He does look like the doll.
The doll, the monster,
is that Chucky? Yes, if you squint at it. But, you know, when you speak about that era of artist, wasn't also someone who performed with a broken leg or something?
Oh, listen, there's some artists,
Who stayed on?
Someone famously sang through, I think it was Diana Ross. She went out there, there was a huge thunderstorm and there was lightning everywhere.
Yes.
And she did, touch me in the morning, and just walk away. And everybody loved her. They clapped and they cheered.
Random Diana Ross facts. Do you want to know that?
So
she was performing in Madison Park in New York.
Madison Square Garden.
And there was great rain at that performance.
Huge rain.
The best rain. And you know, Diana Ross is like a size -7 like me. So she could have been blown over very easily. But random fact, because her face was all runny, but her makeup stayed.
Yes.
People started questioning what makeup she was wearing. And she admitted it was MAC. And MAC sales went through the roof.
Look at that. That was their best marketing plan. Who would have known?
If you're ever in a game show and that question pops up, you can thank me.
Diana Ross. What a singer. I saw her. My love. That's not her, obviously.
Very manly voice, Diana.
Wow.
No, that's Lionel. That was at the height of his 80s power. He had a long hair at the back, short hair on top, and he had a big mustache, so he looked like he was Movembering it. My first love. That's her. You're every breath that I take. Jeez, it's distinctive. Wow.
Whatever happened? Where did you see her?
I saw her when she came out here. She did a charity dinner. It was a small thing. There was probably, I mean, by the time that she was finishing up her set, there were maybe 500 of us left. It was amazing.
Wow.
So I was right there. I was like looking at it. I was standing at the edge of the stage.
Ooh.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Looking up at this legend. I mean, people throw that word around these days. Oh, yeah, but you're a legend. You finished that Castle Light. Eh? Yeah. You managed to only score a 95 around this course. And, you know, it's like only a little bit above par. You're a legend. People say legend. They use that word left, right, and center. They deploy it at will. Well, let me tell you, 99% of the time you use the word legend, the person is not a legend.
No.
Diana Ross, a goddamn legend. I mean, she's notoriously diva-ish, right?
Mm.
She wants everything her way. And she can be very difficult.
Yeah, but she's earned it.
Of course she has. Whatever. I mean, where are the other two Supremes? Huh?
Oh.
Huh? Yeah, Shem.
The one owns a...
one. The one. Do you don't know her name, do you?
Is it like the Michelle syndrome all over again?
Exactly. It's that's where it started.
Ruby or something. She owns like a restaurant.
Ruby.
She has a reality show based on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, running her restaurant or something.
Okay, so there was Florence, originally. The Supremes originally were... let me just check, because there was a change somewhere in the middle, right? Sherry was the one, I think. Was it Sherry? Jesus, it's hard to... No, Florence Ballard, yeah. Florence Ballard and Mary Wilson were the first two with Diana Ross. They were the first ones who did it.
Mm-hmm.
But who the hell knows what they've done since then? I mean, who even knows if they're alive, right?
Oh.
Name the other two Supremes. That's a question that should come up at every
quiz. The game show.
That's the game show question. Oh, okay.
Other than Diana Ross, who were the Supremes?
Yeah, Florence Ballard and Mary Wilson. So, well, Mary's dead. She died in 76.
Oh.
And, sorry, Florence is dead. Mary's still alive. She hadn't done anything, though, since the Supremes. She kind of looks a little bit like I imagine Serena will look when she gets old.
Describe that.
Well, I mean, if you see a picture of her, I'll show you a picture of her. She looks a little bit like how Serena will look when she's old.
Okay. Yeah,
I get that.
I'm not being mean. It's not a mean thing. I mean, she's not an unattractive woman. But Diana Ross was the star, and the other two, nobody cares, right? Nobody cares.
Diana's still performing to this day. She was on the Thanksgiving parade last week.
The Macy's Thanksgiving parade?
She was on one of the floats there in this massive white coat.
Oh, she's amazing. Oh, my God. You watch her perform, and those notes just fall off her tongue. They really do. They fall off her tongue like glass beads that then shatter and open the noise up, and you just swallow it up if you're in the crowd. You breathe that in, man.
Look at you. That's very...
God, she's amazing. There's a
it's very descriptive.
There's like a tone to her you just do not get in 99.9% of all the singers in the world who've ever tried to sound like her. And I include the great singers because she has a unique tone. And when I say the great singers, I mean obviously those ones that people go to, like the Whitneys and Mariahs and Arethas. But the thing about Diana is she had a very specific sound. It didn't sound like anyone else. It didn't come from the same place. I don't know where it came from, but she just sounded totally different.
It sounds very effortless as well.
That's it.
I think that's the magic of it.
Right. Right. It just comes out of her. It's just amazing.
Upside down.
Oh, is that your favorite?
It got me.
You turn me inside out and round and round.
That's it.
Oh, go on. Get the lyrics right. It's a stupid song, but if you pay attention.
Upside down, turn them. That's it.
The best. What is her best song? There's so many. What was her best song?
Endless Love.
You reckon?
Definitely.
Well, you know, it's funny because I Diana Ross came up on my playlist yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was listening to some music, which I don't get to do as often as I'd like. And she came up on my playlist and Endless Love came and I actually skipped through it. But it's a beautiful song. So, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. That's good. What else has she got?
Reach
Out and Touch. Somebody.
Yeah, that always just sounded like a talk show intro.
Yeah, but it was. It did eventually become that. Quite right, Ben.
What's that other one? Da-da-na-na. Give him a plan, a great direction. It's right on the top of my tongue. I'm going to find it. Never mind.
Chain reaction.
Thank you. Yeah, very, very good. And this team will eventually finish each other's sentences like that. But that's a good thing. Diana Ross.
Wow, what a singer. What a powerhouse. So there we go. There's someone to think about this morning. She was at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I just saw a picture of her. She did look pretty damn impressive. So there's I'm Coming Out. There's When You Tell Me That You Love Me.
Oh, that's the song she did with Westlife.
There's
Do You Know Where You're Going To?
Right, which was famous back in the 70s. There's Upside Down, there's Touch Me in the Morning, there's It's My Turn. What a great song that is. And then she did duets with just about everybody. She did duets with Marvin Gaye. She did a song with Lionel Richie. She did a song with Julio Iglesias. She did a song with... Who else did she do? Who's that guy? Barry White.
Oh.
She did one with him, yeah. She was with everybody at some point in the song. It's My House. Remember that?
74 years old.
Yeah. And look at her. Not too bad. Anyway. All right, we got to move on. There are things to do, people to see, places to go. So today, at 8:30 a.m., we bring you another episode of our series, For the Love of Law. Remember we started that the other day? It's where we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. It's a new way of doing things. You don't want to put out a written prospectus, some kind of boring pamphlet. So mm-hmm. what we've done is we went over to Flaxman's attorneys, and we met some of these people. We did a little interview with each of them, and you get to know them. We don't want to make lawyers intimidating and scary. For a lot of people, they're very scary already. Now, imagine if you knew about these lawyers before you needed their help because you're in trouble. How many people go to a lawyer because they're having a good day?
Seldom.
Zero, right?
It's like certain medical people, yeah.
Well, today we meet a guy who's either a referee or a lawyer. Well, it turns out he's actually good at both. A guy called Ari Soldatus.
Oh my gosh, this guy's fascinating. I've met him before.
Damn right. He's been in practice since 1998 as a lawyer. He's also a member of the Dispute Resolution Committee of the South African Football Association. He's an arbitrator at the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
Mm.
For the Love of the Law is brought to you by Flaxman's Attorneys, one of South Africa's leading law firms, and you get to hear about Ari Soldatus. What a guy.
Yeah, don't miss that. I had the pleasure of meeting this guy and I've had drinks with him.
Just he's amazing,
stories
right?
Stories on stories on stories.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's been doing like the most in life for a very long time.
Mm.
Real winner. He seems like the perfect dinner party guest.
He is.
Totally.
Yeah, he really is.
One of the most interesting people you will ever meet, and you get to hear him on cliffcentral.com at 8:30 this morning. Make sure you're listening to our new series, For the Love of Law. And there are a whole bunch more coming. Don't worry. We've got so many interesting things on the way. I spoke to somebody yesterday about human trafficking.
Ooh. Yeah, that's still very much a thing, unfortunately.
You have no idea. It's the second biggest organized crime in the world.
Wow.
Second only to drugs.
Mm.
And the number of people who are trafficked here in South Africa and in the rest of the world will frighten the hell out of you. People picked up in cars in Johannesburg and you never see them again. People who are taken from rural villages in KZN and they're never seen again. They're either put into sex slavery, into forced labor. They're made to work in construction or in farming in some foreign country. They can't speak the language. They're on their own. They don't know how to get back. A lot of them have Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to hear this. When we debut this series, I think it'll be harrowing. It'll be the kind of thing that people will talk about. And then a lot of feedback yesterday on Mark Oppenheimer and the free speech discussion that we had yesterday. It's been a very complicated area of not only law, but of common kind of, you know, street discussions. People will say to you, oh, you can't say that. That's hate speech. Well, it turns out hate speech is a very, very, very rare thing. It's a very small and very well-defined category. And basically, hate speech, in order to comply with the definition of hate speech, you have to do a lot of things. And being mean to someone doesn't quite equate to hate speech. They've got to get over it. They've got to toughen up. So that was interesting. We spoke to Mark Oppenheimer yesterday, and you can go and listen to that if you want to.
Everything on cliffcentral.com.
Oh, I see that the Real Housewives cast member, what's her name? Crystal K is coming. Mm-hmm. Is she the one who emailed me?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the one with the 18 million rand house.
Right.
Half a million.
Tell me
rand
about her.
Coat.
Give me the background.
Former lawyer.
Because I haven't watched the
so
show.
So really earned her stripes there, but mm-hmm. she just decided halfway through her law profession that this is not for her, and she actually wants to be a pop star. And she's made all of her money in law, so after that just wants to live a very fabulous life. Has this massive estate in Kailami, if
is
you
she
know
married?
Johannesburg. Yes. She's married to someone in finance as well, and they have a son. And now she's debuted her latest single, so we'll play a bit of it here. And yeah, 18 million
is it
rand
as good
house.
As your single, Sia?
Well, Gareth.
Have you heard Sia's song, Ben?
Ben, you missed it.
You were in Sun City. Do you want to hear Sia's song?
Tomorrow, Gareth.
No, you know what? I'm going to play it for you quickly.
We're running out of time.
Tomorrow is not here.
Just listen. we get to the news.
No, we've got a little bit of time. Listen to this, man.
It started on the day I never felt this way. I saw you standing there, and I thought, my, you were the one for me. I was the one for you. My heart was never the same. It's you, it's true.
It's you.
How do you like that, Ben? Come on, be honest. Sia needs the feedback.
Let it out. Like a caged dove, just let it out.
It seems to have made you happy, Sia.
Oh, did it make you happy?
I just like to see you smile, Sia.
Yeah. I can't even find the words for Ben's facial expression right now.
Pile of emails here of people complaining about that song. I played it on Friday for the first time and today for the second time, and the complaints have not stopped rolling in.
Did you play all of it? Like, how much of it?
As much as I could stomach. By the way, our security guard here at the gate definitely took a shit in our bathroom.
Must have.
I don't understand why my song goes into an instant segue about shit.
Total what coincidence. Total coincidence. But we arrived here this morning.
We'd finished with your song.
Here. So we went here. The door was open.
Ben and I arrived, and he pulled in, and he was next to me on his bike, and then he hooted, and the guy came running, like pulling up his pants. He came running.
Running out of our building.
Yes, yes. And he's pulling up his pants, and his belt was undone, and you could see he was he came running up the hill and pressed the button to open the gate for us, and we drove in. And then I noticed that the lights were on up here.
Oh, no.
And that our bathroom door was closed. But it might have been opened before because the light was on in there as well.
Oh, the window was wide open.
Window wide open.
Oh, no.
You know, like when you open the window out of desperation and shame, as far as it can go. Not like a window, like so much so that the mechanism is now being stretched. That's how much open it was.
Has anyone been in there yet?
Go ahead, sir. I'm not going to be anyone's canary this morning. Gord can arrive and go have a sniff.
Yeah, where's Gord? Someone asked.
I got a message from him. He says, I'm running a bit late. I just had my morning hurl, but unfortunately there was no water.
What does that mean?
It was a dry hurl.
Means
chunks.
Maybe Gord just wakes up and has a bit of a puke in the morning.
I did something interesting yesterday. I had lunch with... No, I didn't do dry heaving.
Oh, because the segues this morning.
I had lunch with a guy called Henk, who, along with another South African guy, they run a film production company in London.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made their 9th movie. And they're working with some pretty impressive actors. I mean, they're doing really good stuff. He's got a budget for this movie, which is much bigger than anything he could have done here in South Africa. So it's amazing to meet these people who are doing well, especially in the film business. You know how hard that is?
So tough.
Mm.
First of all, to get the funding is near impossible. So I was just really impressed. Very, very interesting dude. Had what I loved, the lunch was exactly an hour. I sat down and I said to him, look, I don't like these long lunches.
I'm a very busy man.
No, I just don't like long lunches. So he said, you know what, me too. He ordered, I ordered, stuff arrived, we ate, we talked at exactly 1:03. And I arrived at 12:03, so did he. 1:03, we were done. Bill was paid. We got up. He went his way. I went my way. Fantastic.
These are the things that bring you joy in life.
Jesus, it made me happy. So weird, right? Like some people would like to sit there and have a boozy lunch all afternoon. I was so excited to get out of there. Not because he was boring. He was great.
It's great, but it's all you need. It's not the 90s. We have boozy lunches.
Right. Thank you very much.
You have the cast of L.A. Law.
Right. Thank you.
Get your business done.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with the breezy lunch?
It's been getting a business done. Ben is wearing a suit and tie today.
He looks like
someone from the 90s who was a television presenter. You look like...
Thank you.
You know who you look like? Adrian Steed. Well,
Gina.
It's a look I'm always striving for, Gareth.
Adrian Steed.
90s TV presenter.
That's what you look like.
I feel like you should walk around with a stack of paper, only if it was environmentally friendly.
Then someone said, that song by Sia is so awful. What we need from Sia is a Christmas song.
See, we're about to get into the most wonderful time of the year, Sia.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. That's my follow-up.
Oh, single. Here we go. Just a few words on your condescending attitude to Axl Rose and the Guns N' Roses current tour. The tour has been a financial success, grossing over $480.9 million to date, making it the fourth highest grossing concert of all time. The tour was 2016's highest earning per-city global concert tour, as well as the fourth highest earning overall that year. In 2017, the tour ranked as the second highest grossing worldwide. I mean, this goes on. This email goes on and on. The tour was honored at the Billboard Touring Awards in November 2017, winning Top Tour, Top Draw, and being nominated for Top Box Score. Man, children fawning over Diana Ross. Ah, you know what?
Wait, when were we condescending to Axl Rose?
So exactly, the prawn. You know what he doesn't like? He doesn't like that Ben compared Axl Rose to the child, the doll from...
Pretty close, Chucky. Close likeness. Nothing disparaging about his musical ability.
So you know what, prawn. The problem with you is like you think you're the only Guns N' Roses fan in the world, and nobody bothered to ask us if we like Guns N' Roses. I've been listening to them since before Ben's outfit was cool.
Yeah. Gareth was listening to them when stadium shirts were cool, band shirts were cool.
I don't have hopes and dreams. And I don't have plans and schemes. I don't have anything since I don't have you. Don't give me shit. Okay. Axl Rose. You come here and lecture me about Guns N' Roses, you motherfucker. Oh. I've been listening to Guns N' Roses forever.
Wow.
Because I don't want to go to their schmutzy concert and stand next to people like you doesn't mean I don't love Guns N' Roses.
Gareth was listening to them when Slash had short hair.
Thank you. No, he never had short hair. It's not as far as I can.
Well, he wasn't bald with long hair.
Anyway, no, the prawn. Just go and enjoy the concert. Don't fight with us. And don't give me shit about fawning over Diana Ross either. You know what I think? I think people who like only a certain kind of music are the kind of people who are probably limited to liking only certain things the rest of their life as well. A very limited selection of things. Music, genre, is only important to people who file CDs at defunct CD stores. The rest of us like all kinds of stuff. And yes, I may have been poisoned by the commerce of commercial radio and having to play boring mainstream stuff a lot of the time.
Poisoned.
But what I listen to when I'm not listening to the stuff that I play on radio is a very eclectic mix. I listen to all kinds of shit, from Diana right through to Axl. So, I mean, even yesterday, you got Nolo getting all excited about...
Black Sabbath
and Judas Priest. So we try to show it all off.
We're diverse.
When do we form a mob and drive that Velapi Kumalo dude's kids out of school and harass his entire family like he did for the Adam guy? Or is that only for whites? Well, if you listen to the interview with Mark Oppenheimer, the judge, Judge Sutherland, who rendered that verdict, made a very interesting point. He didn't fine the guy. Because he said this is something which affects all South Africans deeply. So it's not about him paying a fine, which is what Penny Sparrow did. And who even knows where that fine went? He had to make a donation to charity, a substantial donation to charity. He was not sent to jail because that doesn't help anybody. You don't send people to jail for speech of any kind, right? That's teaching everyone a lesson. And he has apologized. He's written a very detailed and unreserved apology. He doesn't say, well, I only apologize to these people, to those people, because in the beginning he only apologized to the ANC, remember? Then he very quickly changed that to every South African, black and white, and everyone in between. So go and listen to what Mark said about the judgment, because I think you'll be less hell-bent on retribution. And I know what you mean. It seems to me that the... reaction, and I brought this up with Mark, the reaction in the press to the Velapi Kumalo ruling, you could hardly even find an article about that. But when Adam Katsavela, somebody we've never heard of in our life, who's not employed by government, who doesn't have a public role like Velapi Kumalo had, says something on a beach in a foreign country and it gets leaked from some WhatsApp group, everybody loses their shit like their hair is on fire. Their anal hair is on fire.
Ooh, yeah, that's the worst.
And that's just ridiculous. So yes, of course there's a disparity there. I totally hear you. But listen to what the judge said, because there's something for us all to learn from it. All right, let's get into the five things you need to know today. Cape Town fishing vessel. This is always bizarre. You know, you got these boats that go out and sometimes they don't come back. You never hear about you hear about these trawlers from China that just arrive and then disappear. You know what I'm talking about?
Not a big story for me, Gareth.
Okay, well, let me help you, Ben. I'll try and make this interesting for you.
I'm not really a fan with the fishing news.
This is more to do with a little vessel. He is this guy who's I suppose piloting the vessel has been convicted of charges relating to water pollution, a criminal charge described to be the country's first. So a lot of these boats go out and they just dump their stuff into the sea.
Yep, all the plastic in the nets and that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's the real issue with plastic.
He has to pay a 3,000 rand fine or serve a 2-year prison term. Well, 3,000 rand.
3,000 rand fine.
2 years. Doesn't seem right. The sentence is suspended for 5 years. The Environmental Affairs Department's Marie-Louise Loom said the Department of Environmental Affairs welcomes the criminal conviction of a captain of a registered fishing vessel who was found guilty of discharging sewage into the water in Cape Town in the harbour in October. Ugh. Just let all the shit run out into the harbour. I mean, what kind of a person does that? And then, this is interesting because this is starting to happen more and more now. The Hawks have arrested a man for demanding a bribe in exchange for a multi-million rand tender in Limpopo. The complainant alleges he received a call from a man believed to be working for the education department after submitting her tender bid to provide security services at schools in the province. The suspect allegedly demanded 100,000 rand in exchange for the contract. See, this is how it happens.
Yep.
We all know this is how it happens. But now people are starting to turn on each other. And Cyril says, he said this over the weekend, he is going to wipe out all the corruption. Now, even if you think he'll get it half right, that would be an achievement.
Yeah, well, just some corruption.
Correct. So this guy's going to appear in court soon. Matimba Maluleke from the Hawks said, sting operation was arranged and the suspect was arrested immediately after receiving the bribe. The investigations are still ongoing and the suspect will appear in the Polokwane Magistrates Court. So there we go, another person who's been arrested for corruption. Bribery and corruption. Two of the things that plague us more than almost anything else in South Africa. And while we're talking about those, the VBS scandal continues.
Mm-hmm.
A man was shot in Burgers Fort. He's one of the ones who's been criticizing some of the accused in the VBS Mutual Bank scandal. So they've killed him.
Bless
shot
you.
The guy dead. Can you believe that? An ANC ward councillor who's been saying some things about the VBS Mutual Bank, Tabang Maupe, was in his car with his wife outside their liquor store Monday night when they were accosted by an unknown man and shot. Maupe died instantly and his wife sustained minor injuries after being hit by a stray bullet. 43-year-old is believed to have been a staunch critic of some of the people implicated in the VBS bank scandal. Ooh, it's like the mob. And listen, the EFF are bristling at the moment. They are so embarrassed about being embroiled in all of this, and they know it's going to hit them hard at the polls this coming year, 2019, that they're just lashing out at everybody. Pravin and Steenhuisen, and they're screaming and shouting. I've never seen Julius so hysterical. There must be something very big
that's
going to be revealed. I mean, Polly van Wyk has already revealed that he has personally been implicated in the VBS scandal.
Well, that's because she's a fantastic journalist.
Correct. His house in Sandton was paid for by VBS.
Yep.
So the guys, obviously, they're so deep in it now that they're starting to flail and scream and wail and moan. And I wouldn't take anything the EFF says seriously right now.
Or ever, really.
Or ever, really.
Fundamentally, they are so bankrupt.
Bankrupt morally,
yeah.
Bankrupt financially.
In every sense.
Rotten to the core. All right, let's go to Andries. Hey, Andries, what's up?
Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, man. What can you tell us?
Listen, I'm just listening to the podcast of yesterday, and you were speaking about the AI and them doing jobs.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to inform you that IBM did a collaboration with 20th Century Fox, and they actually taught the machine to make horror film trailers. So what they did is basically what the AI, the simple model is you got data, you analyze it, then you feed it to the machine and you learn it and then it spits out results. So they made a horror trailer movie and it looks exactly like one that a human would make. The only intervention from a human is from the editing side.
Well, isn't
it was actually so good.
Isn't it true that those horror movie trailers all have the same format anyway? Don't they?
Yeah, it's basically that. So the machine could pick that up from you know, feeding previous horror movie trailers. It could pick up exactly what it needed to do, and that it's amazing.
Wow. All right, so the AI has actually been able to program and make a trailer. Now, it won't be long before they make whole movies, right?
Yeah, probably. That's the way we're heading.
How do these horror movie trailers usually go?
Well, it's a dark scene, a voice. Don't go in there, and then something happens. Shit happens.
Usually there are these quick cut scenes where you have doors slamming and monsters appearing and then disappearing and like lightning striking and that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not a big fan of them horror movies, but the ones that I've seen are exactly that same format.
Hmm. All right, very good. Thanks, man.
Cool. Yeah,
cheers,
have a nice
day. Bye. Well, how do you like that? AI is programming horror movie trailers. Apparently, the State Capture Inquiry is not dividing the ANC, says Gwede Mantashe. But who could believe anything he's said for the last 100 years?
The last 100 years.
I mean, clearly this is going to drive a wedge in the ANC because some of the ANC people are implicated and some are not. So doesn't it stand to reason that those who've got a finger pointed at them are going to kick and scream and that those who are pointing the finger are going to become their enemies?
Correct.
This is dividing the ANC by definition. Greta, you need to check how much English you understand. The ANC chairperson said testimony coming out of the State Capture Commission is not dividing the ANC. Last week, the party condemned its own senior members who've questioned the integrity of the State Capture Commission and said the party would take action against them. Ekuruleni Mayor Zwandile Masina tweeted that the inquiry was, quite frankly, subjecting people to sheer gossip. While ANC councillor in the Eastern Cape, Andile Longisa, said the commission is mutating into a potential new factional battleground. So Mantashe said, oh, listen, if we accuse this commission of any division or symbolize the division to the commission, we will be economical with the facts. It can't be, he said. The commission is dealing with issues that have been bothering us for a long time. That's basically what Greta said, because that's how he talks to people.
It'd be really great if this commission just ended up saying, you know what, guys, we actually don't need any of you. You're all a bunch of dickbags. Politicians, you've had your time.
We're going to get rid of the
lot. You're actually just ruining society, and this inquiry has confirmed this.
And then the final story I want you to know about this morning is the Tobacco Institute of South Africa says Gold Leaf Tobacco's RG brand is now the biggest illegal cigarette in the country, followed by Best Tobacco's company brand, Caesar. I've never heard of either of these.
Did they get that info from Julius?
Don't know, but that's where it comes. Yeah, because, of course, he's financed by that Mazzotti guy, right? So Tobacco Institute of South Africa says government is now losing $8 billion a year to illegal traders.
That's even more money than the Guptas stole.
But I don't see how government should be losing that money. Of course, it's because the tax on cigarettes is so high. Means that those companies are losing the money. Who cares about government losing money? Aren't they pissing away enough of the money already themselves?
It's just strange that the government aren't doing more to curb this, seeing as they are losing so much money. But then again, government are getting all the money illicitly anyway from this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all right. So those are the five things you need to know today. Hey, Gord, nice of you to join us.
What's going on?
What a time to come in here, huh?
What a morning I've just had.
You told Ben that you were hurling. Do we need
so
to know
hard.
About...
Well, you don't need to know the difference except that the toothbrush... just didn't react well with the mouth, and then that happened.
How deep do you go with your toothbrush?
I normally go pretty deep, but I'm used to it. Like that doesn't happen. That doesn't usually happen.
Do you know people brush their teeth every day and don't throw up, Gordon?
Well, I brush my teeth every day and don't throw up, Gareth.
So how's this a new problem? Where did this come from?
I don't know. I was just getting it on there with the toothbrushing, and the next thing you know, that I had like a minor gag, and I was like, "Ooh, this is one to check." That moment where you sort of steel yourself and you try and take like a strength pose, and then I kind of thought, I can fight this, and then I leaned over and, no, come, dude, I can't actually. No, with the sound effect. So yeah, that happened, and then I realized that there was no water in my complex, because the water that I'd used to start brushing my teeth was that little bit.
So you had a dry heave?
I did have a dry heave. Then I had to go and like look around the house and find. I used soda water to then brush my teeth and stuff because I had
the water
in
your cat's balls.
No, she needs it though. So yeah, I apologize, but today has been off to a proper fuck show of a start.
All right, well, we've got Ben standing by to give us the sports.
Ben looks so handsome. Have you told everybody?
Yes, no, he looks great.
Thank you. Those exact words weren't used, but thank you, Gord.
Okay.
I used an even more flattering compliment. I told him he looks like Adrian Steed from the 90s. I think that's a kind thing to say.
I can't remember
Adrian Steed. It's kind, but it's not accurate. I mean, that was a dashing gentleman. He was like the Kirk Douglas of South African broadcasters.
The standard you aspire to, Ben.
Thank you, Gareth.
And you've lived up to today. So Bitcoin at $4,039. $4,039.
It was $6,000 last week, wasn't it?
Sorry, $4,038. And well,
it's up.
Up.
No, 8 is down from 9. Sorry, it's early.
And it's 4.
And $116 for Ethereum. It's almost below $100. It's a fuck show. So let's get into sport with Ben and see what's going on over there. Take us away.
Champions League football recap. Banyana are the heroes that we always wanted in SA sports. And the Mzansi Super League's actually doing pretty well on TV. Let's start with Banyana then, because right from the beginning I've been telling you this is the big SA team we should all be supporting. And for good reason too, because they're winners. Everyone loves winners.
We don't like losers.
Banyana.
Terrible losers.
I'll just take triers in general when it comes to sports.
We'll get to Man United in a sec, Gord. Banyana beat Mali 2-0, and with that they will take on Nigeria in the final of the women's AFCON being played in Ghana at the moment. So going to the final means they also get to the World Cup. The Women's World Cup, which will be held in France next year. So this really is a big moment for them, because the first time they qualified for this, they are a bloody good team. And they win games. They don't go into penalties and win out of sheer emotion, guts, and determination. They actually win with skill. Yeah, take that, the rest of SS sporting teams. This is a real thing. So some will say, oh, but you know, women's football isn't the biggest deal. I mean, you win your group and suddenly you're in a semi-final. Sure, there are less teams playing in this AFCON for the women. No doubt about that. But you've still got the beaters in front of you, and Banyana have been doing that. So they'll play in the final. More about that close to the weekend. It was the Champions League last night, and with that, Bayern München, they beat Benfica 5-1. Hoffenheim 18.
Did you just do the theme song?
Yeah, it's very distinctive.
Okay.
Hoffenheim 1870, long name. They lost to Shakhtar Donetsk at home 3-2. Oh. Olympic Lyonnais, what a result for them. They beat, they drew with Man City, which is as good as a win, because let's be honest, Man City's better than kind of everyone. Roma, they got hammered by Real Madrid 2-0 at home. Real Madrid coming back in some sort of form. Juventus beat Valencia 1-0. Man United just, again, bored everyone to absolute death. Absolute death. I mean, people have never understood how football could be so boring. And then Man United come on the scene. Jose's got this face like a smacked ass at the moment, blaming everyone, kicking over drink stands. They beat the young boys 1-0, Gareth. You know, also beat the young boys.
Who?
Their sisters. This team is not very good. Everyone's been hammering them, and they had to get Fellaini to score. Oh, the tweets, the social media last night. Basically, Fellaini, who's obviously likened to a massive tree, he scored the goal, which is very ironic that, you know, in a game this crap, one of your worst players has to score. Personally, I think Fellaini's very good.
He scores from time to time, and he's not actually that bad. He's kind of been made a scapegoat because of being bought by David Moyes. He's a pretty good player, I think.
Look, he's the Zane Kirshner of Man United.
Among Man
the
United.
The Berhardin of Man United.
Among a bunch of either underperforming or right players and very mediocre players, he's certainly not one of our worst. But yeah, it was boring as hell, and I was praying for it to end because I knew I had this early morning this morning, and I just wanted to go to bed. And then when I'd gotten this, resignation about, okay, another fucking draw against a team we should not just beat, but easily beat.
Trash, yeah.
They scored, and I even commented on my little Facebook group. I was like, I still don't fucking care. That was a horrible game.
It really was. God, it really was. CSKA Moscow, they lost to Viktoria Plzen, and with that, they're out of the Champions League. We'll get into the logs in a bit. But then AEK Athens versus Ajax. This is a game you probably couldn't give a toss about, and Ajax won at 2-0. But these AEK Athens people, the hooliganism. Gareth, they threw a petrol bomb into the Ajax fans section.
What?
Many of the Ajax fans were actually injured, Jesus. But properly. Riot police were called in. They cannot behave. What a bunch of pricks. A petrol bomb. Who leaves the house with a petrol bomb?
No, how do you get into a stadium with a petrol bomb?
Your mother used to say, leave the house in fresh underwear, not where's your petrol bomb?
Mm. I was always told, don't take a petrol bomb to a fun event, young man.
There we go.
Spoil it for everybody.
Decent upbringing. This person in Athens. Not the same. Not the same. I mean, we've had all that shit in Argentina around the Boca versus River Plate match. I got to tell you that the people from Boca Juniors are saying, screw it, we don't want to play these hooligans. They're a bunch of savages, they should be banned, and therefore the final shouldn't take place. So you know it was postponed twice over the weekend.
Well,
now there's talk of them playing in a different country. Like, how much of a hooligan, how badly behaved are you? You can't play a football match in the same country the league is being played in.
Well, Craig sent me an email and said, you know what, Gareth, it's time to bring back the shame bell. And I can't imagine any better place for the shame bell than right here.
Shame!
I agree.
Right.
Shame bell is, I don't even know
shame
how it could have got disappeared in the first place.
Shame!
It's an but institution.
If you can't behave in life, you can't shame. Have nice things. And as far as I can see, the Champions League's a shame. Nice thing. So AEK Athens, shame. You can't have it. You just can't have it.
But haven't they done this before, like in other countries, like in Europe, whatever?
Oh, there's always some team
where teams have got to play without their fans.
Yeah, you play behind closed doors.
Or they just have no fans in their section of the stadium.
Yeah. Well, either way, there should be massive repercussions here. Tonight, if you are still wanting to watch, the champion Lokomotive Moscow will take on Galatasaray at 5-8. Atletico Madrid versus Monaco. Thierry Henry finally got a win as the head of this team, but they'll probably get dicked again in the Champions League because it's that much tougher. And then 10 o'clock, all the other big games. Napoli will be taking on Red Star Belgrade. Spurs versus Internacional, otherwise known as Inter Milan. Now, Spurs have to win this. They had a great opportunity to beat Inter at the San Siro, but they cocked that up. So they need to win this one. Otherwise, they'll be out of the Champions League. PSV will take on Barcelona. Good luck to that. Porto will take on Schalke 04. Borussia Dortmund take on Club Brugge. And then Liverpool, this is a severe test for a team that's done bloody well so far with Mbappe and Neymar. Paris Saint-Germain will be hosting Liverpool. Your pick of the matches tonight at 10 o'clock. So there is still one more round of fixtures to go. So we do have Champions League football into December still. But there's no big surprises. The cock teams will fall away. The better teams will go through. I mean, Real Madrid's through. Barca's essentially through. Spurs are the ones who have to really work quite hard. And Liverpool, if they lose this one, because PSG are currently third in Group C, Liverpool currently second, and Napoli on top. So big result. It could go either way. It really could. So that's a big one to watch out for. In other football, a man was thought to be dead, but he's not. The amateur Irish football
lucky
club.
Thought to be dead.
An amateur Irish football club.
What do you mean thought to be dead?
That's
quite a big deal.
Yeah. Was thought to be dead, but was not. You say that like your newsreader voice. It just sounds like such a bizarre headline. So, and in other news today, a man was thought to be dead, but was not.
Yeah. No, he was in Spain. So the Spanish guy who plays for this Irish football club, there was a minute silence prior to the match, and everyone was like, oh, so he died so young. There was alleged that this guy... La Fuente, Fernando Nuno La Fuente.
Fabulous name.
So it was alleged that he was in a motorbike accident and he died. Meanwhile, he just went home for a month.
I don't know why that just gave a little spark in the undercarriage for Sierra.
No, it's a fabulous name. So
fabulous name.
Can you imagine the start of this match at Ballybrook FC, where they said, well, we'd now have a minute of silence for Fernando Nuno La Fuente, who died in a mysterious bike accident. And everyone's going, oh, shame, poor guy. Huge amounts of sympathy and condolences come out to the club, and it turns out the guy's alive and well.
But it must be quite cool to get your, like, stadium moment of silence, like this huge appreciation for you.
Yeah.
And you get to experience it.
And you're alive and you're
like,
not dead.
Sorry, dude, that was nice of you, but I'm alive.
So an emergency meeting was held, and the person in question to provide this information has been relieved of all footballing duties, says the Ballybrook FC, who have got into a massive PR offensive. This grave and unacceptable mistake, they say, was completely out of character and made by a person who has been experiencing severe personal difficulties unbeknownst to any of the members of the club. So basically they're saying someone had a nervous breakdown, made up the story about this guy dying, and now he's been fired.
Or like, O's were high as a kite, and like just making up names because they like the 1 minute of silence because
it's
so
peaceful. We can't find La Fuente. Where is he?
He must be dead from a bicycle accident.
Meanwhile, he just went home to visit his family.
Well, La Fuente rides his bike home, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like he's one of those guys.
He's not a trainee. He died in an accident.
What's his name again, his full name?
Fernando Nuno La Fuente.
You like that, Sia? Yeah.
La Fuente.
La Fuente.
Ay, caramba, La Fuente.
So the Mzansi Super League, though you'll have some detractors out there, 3.4 million viewers in the first weekend. So everyone's looking at the stadium going, oh, there's not enough people in the ground. Sure. Okay, that's a live thing. But the whole point of the Mzansi Super League was to make cricket more accessible to the masses and to give them world-class entertainment. So it's on SABC3. the same channel that brings you Top Billing.
Oh.
And 3.4 million in the first weekend.
Top Billing is still a thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
I know, it was huge.
Essentially, outside of Top Billing, Mzansi Super League is like the next biggest thing on SABC3 right now.
Oh.
So 1.6, according to Nielsen, and they get nothing wrong, 1.6 million people watched the match between the Jersey Stars and the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants last Saturday. And basically, all the matches that have been showed so far have gone over the 1.3 million mark in viewership. So this is good. This is the whole thing. As Thabang Moroe said, it was about getting the cricket out to the masses. It's about getting new audiences in. It's about getting cricket to be exciting again. So, I mean, they tick that box. They really have. So if you want to make more of a difference, then get on down to the stadium. There's lots of good games on. Unfortunately, last night's table-topping match between Cape Town Blitz and the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants was rained out. But then again, the Eastern Cape, it really does need the rain. So unfortunately, the way you look at the log right now, those two teams are way ahead. Mm-hmm. But there's more games coming. And there's a game today. There's lots of games today. Actually, there's two games. So get on to Mzansi Super League. It's all over the social medias. And you can enjoy some good local cricket, essentially. Tshwane Spartans versus Jersey Stars, 2 o'clock today at Centurion. So there's a nice kind of day drunk kind of affair. And then Durban Heat will take on the Paul Rocks tonight, 7 o'clock at Kingsmead. And then after that, we'll have more matches for you on the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday.
Very good.
It's all happening, Mzansi Super League. It's all happening as well for the boxing. Now, Tyson Fury, he basically lost Sia to get back into shape for this. He decided he was becoming a fat, depressed mess, so he lost more than 60 kilograms.
Oh, no, that is a full Sia. Yeah.
Yeah. Fat, depressed mess.
Actually, he went to bed one day, woke up next morning, he's like, right, I'm losing Sia. And he's got back on top, he really has. So he'll be taking on Deontay Wilder. Now, Deontay...
That's his name?
Basically, call the guy Dion and then throw a Tay on the end.
Deontay.
He's a knockout king, he really is. But Tyson Fury says he's a bit of a one-trick pony, to which Joe Rogan in the interview said, well, it's a good trick, but yes, Tyson Fury is more than this. Now remember, this is a guy who completely outclassed and outboxed Vladimir Klitschko. You know, Tyson Fury is a big guy. He's about 6'9". He's a pikey, so you know he's hard as fuck to start with. But he's got great footwork, he's got great skills, good speed. And this is going to be a fantastic fight. So essentially, it'll be taking place on the 1st of December, but because of the time zone with America, it'll take place on the 2nd of December. So if you are a boxing fan, early hours of Sunday morning, this is going to be a great fight. It really will be. Because Tyson Fury had, well, he had all the belts when he beat Klitschko, and then he sort of just got onto a lot of sniff, did a lot of partying, and he had to relinquish his belts.
All right.
And Wilder is the up-and-coming, real, no-nonsense, big show. So this is going to be a huge fight. It's nice to see boxing coming back because you're a bit tired of hearing about Floyd Mayweather and McGregor and these other people. Not that interesting.
All right, Ben.
Gareth, I think that is pretty much it for the sport. There is a few other things that we'll catch up with on Friday, but essentially it is a big night of football ahead and Mzansi Super League. Those are two things you need to look forward to in the live perspective right now.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Over to you, Sia. What do you got for us in Said by Sia?
Good news coming out from the Western Cape. A catamaran skipper has saved British tourists who had capsized their boat.
Please tell me it was that ugly pirate boat thing that people use for bachelor's parties. If that thing capsized, I would celebrate.
I love that boat.
One from the V&A waterfront. Yeah, no.
So much.
But actually, the man who saved them all was based at the NSRI rescue base at the V&A waterfront. He alone went out to save 8 people, 3 local male crew members and 5 tourist members from the United Kingdom. And this just seems like a scene from one action-filled movie. The skipper of the catamaran free dove into the water, and we know how freezing that water is right now, as there had been missing one particular passenger who was believed to be below deck when the boat capsized. He went under and found her running out of air as water flowed into the space. So he pulled her to the surface just in the nick of time, and everyone sat on the upturned hull waiting to be rescued. So far, we know that it has been confirmed that all crew and passengers were accounted for and that the police dive unit stood down on confirmation that no persons were trapped in the hull of the boat. So everyone rescued from the catamaran was incredibly grateful.
Please
to
sink that pirate ship, please.
No, Gareth. No. Can we have like a year-end
function on
that?
That's a piece of history now. Ben, I don't feel like I want to have herpes as a souvenir.
Ben, what do you want to do on that ship? Have you been on it? Have you been on it before? I haven't. I don't want to.
That's why we have to go. We have to go.
You just probably got a dam of vomit at the bottom.
Oh.
That's what keeps the. That's what keeps it straight up in the water. Gives it ballast.
Keeping it more PG-13 or family friendly. Good news here was that everyone was rescued. The vessel was towed away ultimately, and an investigation will be taking place as per procedure. But without the fast actions of the skipper, the outcome would have definitely been different, and they wouldn't have been so successful. And so good work to all of those involved, and particularly a huge congratulations to the catamaran skipper. His name or her name hasn't been revealed just yet, but I still just wanted to salute them this morning on Set by Sia.
You knew.
Yeah, all right.
What did I know?
No, it just doesn't
matter.
What
was that sound effect fail, Gareth?
What did
you
we know?
You always have them on hand. And
you knew. Yeah. You knew that that thing was going to sink. No, the point I was going to make is that...
That you knew.
I've often been at the Grand Beach Cafe, right? And you're sitting there and you're having drinks with nice people. Everybody's being quite civilized with each other. You're having a happy time. And then this out in the... In the distance, the middle distance, this pirate ship rolls in.
That's the only reason I go to the Grand Cafe, so to see the pirate thing. And then, it comes in
and
does
a
donut.
And you hear people with loud music, and you hear them, and you see them vomiting over the edge, and it's just terrible. It's terrible.
That boat is great.
For what reason?
It makes Cape Town Cape Town. Cape Town would be poorer without that boat doing that stupid little circle outside the Grand Cafe.
That's all it does. Does that stupid little circle, gets in the way of some wakeboarders and jet skiers and all the rest of it. Someone always falls overboard and has to be pulled up by rope. They're all dressed up as pirates. It's terrible. It's really bad.
I really want to go on that boat.
So Adam says, I would struggle to employ that Gord Laws. No shows, lateness, sickness, but truth be told, I love that boy.
That's why they don't employ me, and this is my hobby. That's exactly the reason I'm not employed here. But what do you do when you don't have to do anything and you've got some time to kill it?
So Adam, you didn't hear his part at the end. He loves you. Gord,
I know, I love Adam. Sorry, Adam, right. I didn't mean to snap at you. I've had a rough morning, and I apologize.
Shame, guys. Gord is having a rough moment. He's obviously having a terrible morning. Shame. That comes from someone who's just a number.
I love just a number. You're the best. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know it was a bit of a rough one, but I'm here now. Sorry, guys.
When this is an interesting question from someone who's also just a number, but a different number. Ask Floyd how he paid for four Range Rover Velars. Now, we all know a good revolutionary needs four top-of-the-line luxury SUVs to fight capitalism, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Dude, four will do it, though. I mean, if capitalism comes after you and you got one, you need at least one for the close family and relatives. You need another one for bodyguard and entourage. You need another one for auxiliary firepower, just to keep the guns and that. And then you need a fourth one for, the last one is water, supplies, and a backup in case any of the main three don't work. I mean, if capitalism's after you and one of your fucking 4x4s stops working, you better quickly be able to just get in another one and keep going.
Yeah, but that would be interesting.
To see a lifestyle audit and these supposed, people for the people.
Yeah, I've got a standard rule at my house. I don't like having fat people there, and I don't like having communists. I make an exception for Gord.
Wow.
You're a communist, but Gord?
Communists.
Yeah, those are my political beliefs, Gareth. I mean, come on, dude. I'm nice to you otherwise.
Most definitely.
Not like I'm trying to turn you or anything. The reason I do that
is because communists always steal. They always end up stealing, and they'll steal something out of your house.
Is that a real thing for you, like with friends? They steal shit out of your house?
No.
Well, communists believe everything is theirs.
I've never had a communist at my house, so never had anything.
But I mean, we just glossed over the fat people thing. Why? What's the rule about them?
Because they empty your fridge.
But still, we just generally tend to not go straight into a person's fridge.
That's where you're wrong.
Those not the fat people, you know.
Straight to the fridge.
Yeah. Where's Gord? He was like, he said he was going for a wee. It's been 15 minutes.
Head first in the fridge.
But I just went to the bathroom. He wasn't there. Oh. Somebody checked the fridge. Oh my fuck. The whole ham is gone. The roast chicken's half gone. We had a family sized mayonnaise we got because it was on special. Gone. It's just, I'm trying to swim for safety because there's just sauce everywhere. And Gord's lying on his front. He's in a food coma. When they're on their front, you got to turn them on their back. They can drown. But everyone needs to pitch in here or use a broomstick for leverage.
Oh, I've lost.
I've changed my mind. I only want fat people.
I've lost.
That sounds hilarious. That sounds like the most entertaining thing
in
the world.
I've lost another friend because of the fridge issue. They just don't. They're not caring, and they don't understand.
All right, we've got to get moving. It's 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. Lots more to come in the next couple of minutes. Good morning to you. I hope you're having a good start to your day. Take a big deep breath, all right? CliffCentral.com.